This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. And the next time we speak, you will have done something astounding. Well, not really astounding, but we will have made a difference in what goes on in the nation today. But along the way, in the final few days, you're going to be hit with a blitz of stuff. So let's start with some misinformation you're being fed. There was a recently published study by a team of physicians and medical researchers that found no link between increased legal gun sales and increased violent crime rate. And the study concluded, it is unclear if efforts to limit lawful firearm sales would have any effect on rates of crime, homicide, or injuries from violence committed with firearms. This coming from Dr. Mark E. Hamill, a trauma surgeon at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. One of the lead authors of the report, which was published in the Journal of Surgical Research titled, Legal Firearm Sales at State Level and Rates of Violent Crime, Property Crime, and Homicide. Dr. Hamill is not your typical academic. He spent 7 years as a police officer in New York City, 3 years as a part-time police officer upstate while attending medical school. He served in the emergency medical system from the late 1980s to 2002 as both an EMT and a paramedic. He's also a member of the Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, the only DRJO member on the 10-man research team. The researchers compared state and national crime rate data from 1999 to 2015, obtained from the U.S. Department of Justice and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to the, to National Instant Background Criminal Background Check System, or NICS checks, which were used to show gun sales, even though they do not include private sales, which is a very low percentage of gun sales anyway. And we get this. Nationally, all crime rates except this for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention designated firearm homicides decreased as firearm sales increased over the study period. Using a naive national model, increases in firearm sales were associated with significant decreases in multiple crime categories. However, a more robust analysis using generalized estimating equation estimates on state-level data demonstrated increases in firearm sales were not associated with changes in any crime variables examined. That's a very wordy way of putting that they found out that the theory that more guns cause more crime is complete junk. And we get this. Robust analysis does not identify an association between increased lawful firearm sales and rates of crime or homicide. And based on this, it is unclear if efforts to limit lawful firearm sales would have any effect. And their data is incontrovertible, because they're looking at firearm sales per 100,000, which, they were, in 1999, they were a little bit above 3,000. In 2015, they were a little bit above 7,000. So that's a more than double the amount of guns going into circulation. Now, from 1999, violent crime rates were above 500 per 100,000. In 1999, in 2015, they were below 400 per 100,000. Actually, I think it worked out to be about 387 in 2015. So, while gun ownership doubled, or the rate of gun ownership acquisition doubled, from 1999 to 2015, crime came down about, about 140 some odd per 100,000. Now, this was not an easy study to publish, because that goes against the narrative that most of the medical profession has about guns. One medical publication peer-reviewed the team's findings and completed one round of edits, but chose not to publish the work. Because guns, Hamill said getting this published was a tour de force. There's so much bias in the medical literature against guns. He took his team's findings one step further. Not only do anti-gun laws targeting law-abiding citizens do nothing to reduce crime, they may actually lead to more crime because such laws reduce the deterrent effect that an armed citizenry poses to criminals by making it more difficult for the good guys to get guns. Which is something you and I already knew, isn't it? He finishes out, vilifying legal gun owners for the actions of people who use guns illegally is probably the wrong tact to take. Firearms I own haven't gone out and committed violent crime, and that's the point. Addressing people who want to legally own firearms is not the answer. It's never been the answer. Now, of course, you can't tell that to the gun grabbers out there because it's not about your public safety. It's about controlling you on a daily basis. That's really what they're interested in the most. It's very evident from the way they do things. It's very evident from the laws they try to pass. It's very evident from the way they spread information or use information or misinform you or come at you with stats or commit lawfare against the right to keep and bear arms, those kind of things. That's very evident as well. And it's very telling. The other thing that I find interesting is how much they tried to suppress this study. I may have to try to get Dr. Hamill on the show. I know some guys at the DRGO. I'll have to get him and have him come on Lock and Loader on here or something, and we'll have to talk about this study because the study, like all other empirical studies on the subject, once again drives that. What we would think, you know, you and I would think this, it's the last nail in the coffin of gun control. Except it's never the last nail because, once again, it's not based on anything factual. Therein lies the rub that bugs me the most about some of the stuff they do when it comes to the gun control that they push. Because it ends up causing people to get hurt or killed. Now, there is a substrata of America today that will never buy a gun. They're never going to own a gun. They don't want to own a gun. And that's because they have lived somewhere for so long and seen so much misinformation, been fed so much misinformation, the lie has become the truth. The interesting thing is that a lot of these people are leaving these metro areas. And these metro areas that are hemorrhaging these people, they go from New York City to somewhere in Alabama. Or somewhere, especially somewhere where open carry, Tennessee would be a good example. Tennessee has a lot of open carry. Open carry is legal there. And so a lot of people do. Indiana's another state. They go to one of these states and they see these people carrying guns out in the open and they're waiting on something to happen because of the misinformation they've been fed. And I keep going back to this comparison. During World War II, as we were closing in on the Japanese islands, the Japanese chain of command and the emperor and everybody in government told all of the people on these outlying islands that we would, I don't know what we were going to do to them. Apparently we were going to do something really bad to them, eat them something, I don't know. But we would come up on them trying to just take them into custody. And there's pictures and video of them throwing themselves off cliffs rather than risk being captured by us. And that's some serious brainwashing there. And that's what we see here with some of these other people. Some of these other people think that guns are only used to kill people, that people that have guns are waiting. You know, we go out every day thinking, well, I hope something unfolds in front of me so that I can smash them, those dastardly villains, and I can shoot them with my trusty firing iron. You know, that's what they think we think. Of course, that's not what we think. As a matter of fact, it's horrifying to most of us to think about shooting somebody else. But we carry guns to make it harder to be killed. And in some places, you know, they don't get to do that. In some places, they've been brainwashed as to that will lead to you getting killed. That's the hard part, getting past that. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Dateline Portland. I have an affiliate in Portland. I think it's KFIR. And if you listen to Portland, you know what I'm talking about. Violent crime is rising faster in Portland than other parts of the country. That's not news. I mean, we heard this. We've seen this. There's so many protests going on there. So much Antifa stuff going on there. No respect for law and order. No respect for the norms of society. But the problem now, which it's, I don't see how you didn't see this coming. Residents are saying that it seems like police aren't around when you need them. Larega Guzman told Fox News it's like they almost disappeared. No kidding. No kidding. Guzman owns Bison Coffee House in North Portland, which vandals targeted in early October after advertising coffee with a cop. I'm sorry I'm not one of your regulars, Ms. Guzman. I would have done everything I could to help you if it had unfolded in front of me. Guzman said she decided to host the event because she heard complaints about safety in the city from her customers over the past couple of years. She said a lot of people feel really unsafe. They're angry, they're sad, they're mad, they feel helpless. They feel they don't have a voice. Well, you do have a voice, but, you know, this is something the Shaolin monks found out the hard way, Ms. Guzman. The Shaolin monks really did exist. Kwai Chang came, well, not, maybe not him. But the order still exists today. And as the story goes, the Shaolin monks, in the very beginning, were a very weak, sickly group of people. And on a regular basis, in the spring, bandits would come and take everything they had and beat them senseless and leave. And then this guy that had been out there, there was this guy that had been out there studying the movements of animals, and he was devising this unarmed hand-to-hand combat technique that would be later referred to as Kung Fu, Gung Fu, Wushu, all kinds of different things. His name is Bodhidharma, and he showed up at the Shaolin Monastery, and he found these sickly guys that were complaining all the time about being beat up by these people, and he taught them the hand-to-hand combat. And the Shaolin monks accepted the instruction because they understood in order to keep the peace, you must be strong. Now, in any place where you sit around and you feel like you don't have a voice, Portland, that's because a lot of outrage has happened in Portland, Oregon, that has been unanswered. It has been unanswered by law and order, and it has been unanswered in any other way. So, yeah, I get that you don't think you have a voice. Right now, violent crime is surging 38% in Portland between 2020 and 2021, according to FBI data, if you trust them to say anything, outpacing the rest of the country. Property crime, like car theft and vandalism, also increased. Guzman's customers tell her they're frightened by people trespassing on their property and even stealing items, often while high on drugs. And they have questions like, where are the police? How come they can't come? We used to see them all the time. That's because the average response time in Portland is 20.4 minutes in October. And that's the slowest it's been in at least 6 years. And the Portland Police Bureau defines high priority calls as those in which people or high-value property are in immediate danger. So they have now, because, one, they probably don't have as many cops as they used to. They no longer have the coverage they used to have. And now, of course, the people of Portland are going to blame the police for this as well. Although, I don't see any of them volunteering to join the police department at the moment. We get this from Michael Fesser. We have felt that the police have, you know, checked out or failed us for a while. He's the founder of Portland nonprofit Going Home 2, which supports men transitioning from prison to normal life. It seems they've just sat back and said, we're not going to do anything unless it's a dead body. Well, in a lot of cases nowadays in the United States, if you go out and you actually do the business of being a police officer, you can do the right thing and get in trouble and get prosecuted and get put in jail and have everything you've built in your life taken away from you, ripped away from you. So I don't know exactly what you want from these guys when it comes to some of this stuff. A survey of Portland residents released earlier this year found 51% of respondents doubted a 911 call would be answered quickly. There are a lot of factors that influence that, like travel time and the number of calls and the complexity of calls. But right now, the Portland Police Bureau has one of their big concerns is staffing. They have lost 250 officers over the past 2 years due to resignations and retirements. Every day, we are still unable to staff shifts to minimums. This is coming from spokesperson Terry Waller Strauss. That, coupled with increases in violent crime, traffic crashes, and other resource-intensive calls, means people sometimes have to wait a long time for an officer to respond. She added that officers get into the line of work to help the community, and it's frustrating when they can't. It's also frustrating when you do, and the community turns on you. It's also frustrating when you do, and your chain of command turns on you. Or the civilians that run the city turn on you. That's also very frustrating. Guzman said if she calls the police, she needs to trust that they will show up. She said, I don't need a guy telling me he's going to go get a gun to come back and shoot me because he's high. I don't need this guy trying to break into my shop because he's got a needle in his hand and he wants to go in my bathroom to shoot up. Well, no. I agree with you. She said, this is not the place you're doing this, and if so, I call them. I need help. Current police response times are even slower than during summer 2020, when many officers were pulled off patrol duties to cover the historic riots occurring nightly in Portland and could leave high-priority callers waiting upwards to 16 minutes. But the Bureau is slowly bringing new officers in. You know, September, there were more than 100 sworn vacancies, though. Takes 18 months to fully train a police officer. So even though PPD expects it will continue hiring more officers and it loses to attrition, the effects likely won't be felt right away. We don't know exactly what to do when someone's in our backyard because we don't want to take actions and go to prison, Fesser said. So we want them to do their job, and as a community, we want to do our job to be law-abiding citizens. You guys need to wake up. I don't know what the laws in Oregon are, but if you can buy a gun, then if you're in your house and somebody's breaking in your house, whatever the law is, if you feel like you can't do anything without going to prison, I'm sure there's some provision in Oregon law for you to defend yourself if somebody's breaking into your house. So they're breaking in your house, you go find a place. As soon as they breach and they're coming at you, you've done everything you can do. You have to do the last thing. But do not sit there and say that the police are failing you, because the police have been failed. Right off the top of my head, I'm going to guess that there's been some pushes on defunding them. They've certainly been vilified, demonized. They've been attacked. They tried to catch, I think it was Portland, where they tried to catch one of the precincts on fire and tried to burn the cops in there. Nobody got arrested for that. This has been a bad time to be a cop. You guys should be sitting out there and supporting them every way you can if you want their help. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Republicans of the House Judiciary Committee released a report on Friday that accuses the FBI and Justice Department of political bias. Ranking committee member Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan says the report shows how bad things have gotten.
It's all driven by politics now over there. We live in the greatest country ever, but America's not America if you have a Justice Department that treats people differently under the law. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law. That's not happening.
The report details investigations Republicans plan to consider if they win a majority in the House after the midterm elections. President Biden is cheering the October jobs jobs report, which revealed 261,000 jobs were created last month. The report also showing that hourly earnings rose by 0.4% in October. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. That intrepid crime fighter, the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, she wants to make illegal auto sears even more illegaler. Which is a little bit like super, double secret probation. Yeah, double secret probation. She also wants to use gang shootings involving illegal Glocks, which is an auto sears, as an excuse to ban standard capacity magazines. And I don't know which rag we get this from. After shooting in East Garfield Park left 14 people wounded, Mayor Lori Lightfoot urged state lawmakers Tuesday to ban assault rifles and devices that turn semi-automatic weapons into machine guns. Which, true assault rifles are already banned, as are those switches. She said last night, shooting reminds us that there are too many weapons of war available to criminals. We must have a statewide ban, and I urge the legislature to act. Except that's unconstitutional, Lori. Because, first of all, nobody in Chicago that is a law-abiding citizen, these are the ones you're targeting, nobody has these things you're talking about. So banning the guns that they go on, or the magazines that go on the guns, well, you know, that's not going to do too much. It's not going to stop any crime. Mayoral spokeshole Ryan Johnson said Lightfoot was referring to assault weapons and weapons modifications that create automatic firing. What he's trying to say is, no, the mayor's not stupid. But the mayor is stupid. Her appeal came days after Sun-Times, WBEZ, and NPR investigation found that Chicago police in recent years have recovered an increasing number of extended magazines and auto sears, small devices known on the street as switches that allow semi-automatic handguns to fire automatically. At the same time, the number of machine gun prosecutions and mass shootings has risen, and it's unclear, though, whether a switch-equipped handgun was used in Monday's mass shooting. What is Kim Fox doing with them? That's my question. What's Kim Fox doing with them? Sources said rifle rounds were recovered at the scene and that an automatic weapon appeared to have been among multiple guns used, but Johnson and police spokesman Don Terry cited the ongoing investigation and declining to comment on the specific firepower. Switches are banned federally, along with bump stocks that similarly turn semi-automatic rifles into automatic weapons. Switches and bump stocks are considered machine guns under federal law, even though when they aren't attached to a firearm, which is true currently. They're very bad. Can't have one of those. Now, without knowing any stats, I just realized as I'm going through this, that some of these blue cities, I really don't know too much about what the law-abiding are have, what the numbers are with that. And I don't even know if anybody's done any counting on this one. But I'll bet you that there's nobody that's law-abiding in Chicago with a bump stock or a switch to go on a Glock. I'll bet you. And once again, listen. One of the things that they, this new category of gun crime they've created, it ignores the other violent crime that occurs without guns. I talked about this father and daughter that were knifed to death in California. And it didn't really ruffle too many feathers. It didn't create any ripples because they were knifed, because they were stabbed to death. And yet they're dead. Somebody loved that guy. Somebody loved that young lady. Somebody loved them. And they too have a tragedy now. And what we have in front is something altogether different. Because it's indifference to this. And it's stupidity. Moving over to Ohio. Back in March of 2019, the Ohio legislature overrode the veto of then-Governor John Kasich and approved HB 288, a measure that made a number of improvements to the state's gun laws, including requiring prosecutors to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a defendant was not acting in self-defense. Before that, Ohio was the only state in the nation that, in essence, presumed individuals were guilty unless they were able to prove they were acting in defense of themselves or others, and gun control activists lobbied hard to keep that ridiculous status quo in place. That wasn't their only objection to the bill. The cities of Columbus and Cincinnati sued the state over another provision in HB 288, or 228, that strengthened Ohio's firearm preemption law and allowed for financial damages to be awarded to plaintiffs who sued municipalities over local gun control ordinances that were in place in violation of the state law, arguing that the provision intruded on home rule powers and stands in the way of specific legislative steps the city seeks to take to protect their cities from gun violence. As part of the initial result, they requested a temporary injunction that would halt enforcement of HB 228, but for the next 3 years, Franklin County Common Pleas Judge Stephen L. McIntosh never issued a ruling on that request. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein filed another lawsuit, this one against the judge, asking the state Supreme Court to compel McIntosh to make a decision. And the highest court hasn't yet weighed in, but Klein announced today that he's dropping the lawsuit because McIntosh has finally released his opinion and ruled in favor of the cities. McIntosh wrote in the decision, the court does believe the public interest will be served by granting of the injunction. Till the issues that have been presented have been properly resolved, there's nothing in this record that would establish that an injunction would cause harm to the interest of the public. In the original lawsuit filed by Columbus City attorneys, the city argued 228, in effect, prohibited Ohio cities and towns from pursuing a local ordinance that would combat gun violence, saying it violated home rule and other doctrines. I'm sort of surprised by this, given that the Ohio Supreme Court has already upheld the state's original preemption statute in a 2010 decision, rejecting the city of Cleveland's argument that the preemption law does not unconstitutionally infringe on municipal home rule authority. And it's odd to say the least that McIntosh apparently believes Columbus has a better than average chance of prevailing at trial, considering that the case is largely a regurgitation of the failed arguments presented by Cleveland attorneys more than a decade ago. In his order, McIntosh claims that the provision in 228 that allows private citizens or organizations to sue municipalities for having a law later determined to conflict with state law is an unconstitutional infringement upon municipal home rule authority because language imposing liability on a municipality for passing a law, which was later determined to conflict with state law, would effectively end home rule, as the threat of litigation from third parties would always be present. Doesn't that seem sort of nonsensical? I mean, I don't even know what I'm talking about here, but just the plain language of it just seems nonsensical. State firearms preemption statute is unambiguous in laying out the no-go areas for cities when it comes to gun legislation. If a city like Columbus can violate state law without suffering any sort of consequence, then that effectively ends firearm preemption, a statute that the state Supreme Court has already decided comports with the home rule authority in the state constitution. We're going to see what comes out of this. Ohio Attorney General David Yost can and likely will appeal this decision. And my guess is that if the state's Court of Appeals doesn't overturn the injunction, the state Supreme Court will be amenable to doing so. In the meantime, look for the Columbus City Council to introduce a host of new local ordinances aimed not at violent criminals, but at a legal gun owner, sellers, and manufacturers who live inside the city limits. If there's ever been a reason to not live within a city limit, Seattle has done it. Now Columbus is getting, they're being allowed to do it. These guys that want to turn these cities, because I don't know if it's because of population density or density during the day, because like New York City is not nearly as full on the weekend when nobody's at work as it is during the week, right? Even now, most people are working remote. So the premise has always been, well, it's just so dense. We're just so packed in here. We can't have guns. We'll shoot each other over parking spaces. You know, that kind of nonsense. But which never has actually proven to be a thing. Anyway, we'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Gun Owners News Hour. What is it? Today's, depending on when you're listening, you're either listening to this on the 5th or the 6th. So in, at the least, in 2 days, we're going to change things here. And with just these remaining days left before the midterms, Newsweek has lamented a new poll by Redfield and Wilton Strategies showing that 40% of America still believes that the 2020 presidential election was rigged or stolen. And that's presented as a shocking revelation about the number of Americans who still buy into the big lie, despite it being proven false, according to the article. But they bury the more interesting observation that this poll brings out. For example, only 36% of respondents disagree the 2020 election was rigged or stolen. And of that group, more than one in three find it understandable that others might believe that the election was rigged or stolen. Another 15% neither agreed nor disagreed, and 8% signified that they didn't know. Now, one way to characterize these data is the manner in which Newsweek does, which is to suggest that a horrifying 40% of Americans believe in what a bipartisan mainstream media blitz has promoted as the big lie for nearly 2 years. Which I don't know who the bipartisan part of it is, to be honest with you. Far more accurate way to characterize these data, though, is to recognize that there are more Americans confident that the election was rigged than there are Americans who are confident that it was all on the up and up. And that already paints a different picture of the prevalence of those supposedly fringe election deniers. And when we factor in that those who believe that the election was not rigged but understand why Americans are skeptical based upon the facts they've observed, we find that over 3 in 4, or 75.2% given Newsweek's numbers, think the election was rigged, understand why other Americans think the election was rigged, don't know whether or not the election was rigged, or refuse to take a position on the subject of a rigged election while talking to a pollster. So in other words, fewer than 1 in 4 Americans is confident that the election was legitimate and is completely flummoxed as to how anyone could question its integrity. That's a remarkable figure. Standing athwart the message being delivered by the senile occupant of the Oval Office, who routinely argues that anyone who questions that election's integrity is not only a fringe radical, but an enemy of democracy and a potential insurrectionist. Guilty. Now, we aren't buying the narrative because it's obviously not true. We saw this happen in real time with our own eyes. I went to bed election night 2020 with Donald Trump up by 400,000 votes in Pennsylvania. And I got up and he was down by 500,000 votes. So there was nearly a million vote swing all one-sided overnight. I don't think that I don't remember the numbers, but I do remember that he was in the hundreds of thousands ahead. And I also remember when I got up, I was like, what happened? Because everywhere it swung, everywhere that he was in the lead, and I was like, oh, God, we got it in the bag. Woke up the next morning, that wasn't the case. So, and if you didn't see it, we were told by the conspirators who bragged about rigging the election while they did their victory lap. Molly Ball, writing for Time, told readers all about the secret history that was not so secret for Americans who paid any attention at all of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. She writes that participants want the secret history of the 2020 election told, even though it sounds like a fever dream, a well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. And presuming the gullibility and stupidity of her readership, she goes on to claim that that doesn't actually amount to rigging the election, but fortifying it for the correct outcome. But if a shadowy cabal of wealthy and powerful people working covertly to change laws and manipulate the flow of information provided to the public in order to elect those elites preferred isn't rigging an election and a subversion of democracy, then those phrases don't actually have any meaning in the English language. And you're not crazy for recognizing that very simple fact instinctively, or that it matches up perfectly with what all we witnessed in 2020. We were told in the days leading up to the election by this well-funded cabal of powerful people, for example, that voters would experience a red mirage. Sure, it's going to look like Trump is winning on the night of the election, they told us, but that's only because it's easier to count ballots that were cast in established voting locations on election day than it is to find, certify, and tally all those mail-in ballots that may happen to be at some undefined relay point in the USPS transit. You know, you and I, until this election, we were used to elections being decided on election day. Instead of that, it was demanded that we accept without question the unprecedented circuit breaker that we witnessed on election night in several key states. We watched helplessly as the outcome shifted to conform with the presaged and oft-parroted notion of the red mirage. With each new batch of undiscovered and uncounted on election night ballots that became newly discovered and totally legitimate votes in the Democrat cities of crucial swing states like Philadelphia, Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Detroit in the days following. They wanted us all to feel alone and ostracized and questioning, if not the outcome of the election itself, whether what we had just witnessed was anything close to the securest and fairest election in modern American history, as Democrats began insisting that it was. But this is the true revelation of that Newsweek poll. Though a well-funded cabal of powerful people still desperately wants you to be ostracized, you are certainly not alone. 3 in 4 of us are either incapable of saying they are confident that the 2020 election wasn't rigged, or at the very least, understanding of how one might question its legitimacy. Only 1 in 4 Americans is confident it was totally secure, and cannot understand how anyone would question this. The campaign that we've been watching daily for 2 years to present the former group as fringe radicals and the latter group as an incontrovertible consensus is nothing more than gaslighting on a national scale conducted by the very same well-funded cabal of powerful people in order to delegitimize, discourage, and destroy the political enemy, which is, by the way, you. That's you. Every norm since that day in 2020 has been shattered. Every norm has been shattered. Sitting presidents used to be held, you know, to a standard, and they used to be given latitudes, not Trump. They tried to impeach him twice. Certain things used to be, especially with the left. The left would get out there, oh, we believe in the Second Amendment, but... And then they would come out trying to take everything you have. all of these things combined lead to one or two different things. And that's the part that I don't think the left understands. I think they live in a bubble. I think they actually read the press that they know they own and believe the press, which indicates I'm going to be kind and call them tone deaf. Joe Biden is a demented individual, though. He walks around daily chomping on his ice cream and talking about how he won 81 million votes and he's more popular than Barack and all this other stuff. And, I mean, he's not. He didn't. He isn't. And you get to do the referendum on the way the country is coming, being run right now. So the next time I talk to you, we'll know how this turned out. And I hope that you're angry, and I hope you go out and you do what you got to do. Because we got to do this because it's the only peaceful way to do it. And we should do things the most peaceful way we can. And it doesn't mean the bullet box, it means the ballot box. The bullet box is the final veto. And if we come to that, we're going to be doing the right thing, but it's going to make things tough. It will make things tough, but we will be doing what the founders intended. So, it's a very tough proposition to consider. And it's so much better if we do it this way. Stop paying attention to the media. Don't be put down. Don't let it discourage you. Just go out and do what you got to do. I'll be back next week. It'll be a new world then. Stay awake, stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.